We welcome everyone back to our service this evening. But just a little bit, as we spoke on the lessons this past month on Church of Christ 101, I thought of a lesson that I gave back in 2009. And it's kind of a recap of those things that we've talked about this past month. And I thought I would offer that. One of the things back in 2009, if you remember, it was a time of uncertainty. There was a lot of chaos going on, and there was a lot of change. In the world, the government had become involved in the car manufacturer's bailout, so to say. There was a caption that on December the 19th of that year of 2008, George W. Bush announced that he had approved the bailout plan, which will give loans of $17.4 billion to the U.S. automakers General Motors and Chrysler, stating that under present economic conditions, allowing the U.S. auto industry to collapse is not a responsible course of action. Bush provided $13.4 billion immediately and another $4 billion available in February of 2009. It was in July of 2009 that I lost my job. I had been with Lithia for 9 years, and I had served the previous owner of the same dealerships for 17 years. You can imagine when something like that happens, the thought that runs through your mind. I was fortunate enough, though, to find a job within a week. I went to work at Jim Bass Ford as a service manager. And I can tell you this, service managers do not make quite as much as general managers do. So there was quite a change going on there. We began to sell a few things, sold just about everything we had except the new house that we had moved into in 2005. We were able to hang on to that. But today, we continue to live in a world that is full of chaos and full of change. They say in this life that the only thing that you can really depend on is taxes and death. And the world says if you're not changing, you're not growing. If you're not moving forward, you're moving backward. The things of this world will be forever changing. And while this is true concerning the world, we can be assured that God never changes. Things in this life change, but the things of a spiritual nature never change. The scripture says in Malachi 3 and verse 6, I am the Lord, I change not. Nothing has changed in heaven. Let us go to our Heavenly Father in prayer. I've entitled this lesson, Spiritual Things Never Change. Things in this world continue to change, and we probably notice it more in our country's government and in our businesses, probably more than anything else. There are things going on today in our government that are pretty scary. In businesses, the day of the mom and pop stores are gone and they've been replaced with corporate companies. The day when individuals were independent owners of car dealerships are things of the past. People are fickle, and this word means characterized by erratic changeableness, instability, especially in regard to affections or attachments. It means changeable, erratic, flighty, inconsistent, mutable, variable, and wayward. When we were kids, we had a best boyfriend or a best girlfriend, or we would say, so-and-so is our best friend. But then something happens, and we may never speak to one another again. Relationships change. We're thankful that with God, it is different. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Spiritual things never change. The lesson this evening is about some of the things that we can count on that will never change. The very first thing that comes to our mind is Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Hebrews 13 and verse 8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus was divine and he was human. Jesus never changes. When friends may fail us, we can always count on Jesus. Hebrews 13 and verse 5, the Apostle Paul, speaking of Jesus, said, "Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." A promise that we can always count on is that Jesus will always receive us. He will always be there for us. Spiritual things never change. Next, the law of God will never change. In 1 Peter 1 and verse 25, says, "But the word of the Lord endureth forever, and this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you." Today, if a person tells you that God spoke to them or that they said something to them, if you can't read it in the Bible, then the Lord never intended for you to hear it. Mark 13 and verse 31, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away." Revelation 1, verse 1 through verse 3, "The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him, to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bare record of the word of God, and of the testimony of Jesus Christ, and of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand." It's important that we obey the gospel and that we remain faithful to God's law. The Bible says, "Happy is he that reads, and those that hear these words." The Apostle Paul expressed in Romans 1 and verse 16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." The apostles heard, and the apostles taught the same doctrine. It is immutable, unchangeable, and it is everlasting. Spiritual things never change. Third, the church has not changed. Jesus said in Matthew 16 and 18, "And I say also unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." In Acts chapter 2, on the day of Pentecost, the Apostle Peter preached the church into existence. And those that heard the sermon asked the question, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" They were told to repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Then we read in verse 47, there the Bible says, "Praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved." The steps of salvation are the same today as they were on the day of Pentecost. As we read through the examples of conversion, we realize that what was required then is still required today. The Bible tells us in Romans 10 and verse 17, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." And we see this in the examples of conversion as we read and we study the book of Acts. And we learn in Hebrews 11 and verse 6, But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Then we must repent. We must repent of the things of the old life. We find in Romans 6 and verse 6, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Then we must confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. This is the creed of all faithful members of the Church of Christ. This is what we believe. What a great opportunity to confess the name of Christ. When someone asks us, what is your belief? When we are asked that question, sometimes we say, I'm a member of the Church of Christ. Or, I go to the Church of Christ. What if we said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? How do you think they would respond to that? Next, we're baptized into Christ. All the steps that we take up to this point in obeying the gospel is unto salvation. It is only after baptism that we are into Christ. Romans 6, verse 3 through verse 5. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death. Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Spiritual things never change. Fourth, the worship of the church has not changed. The five items that we've talked about this past month, as far as that make up our worship service, have not changed. Before we talk about these five items, there is something that is very important that must be considered. Brother Dwayne brought this up this morning, and that's concerning the undivided assembling of God's people, and that has never changed. There is no example, there is no necessary inference, and there is no silence of Scripture that call for the dividing of God's people. There is no authority for Bible classes or for Sunday school. Old Testament references. I want to point these out. I want to read these references. In the Old Testament, in Exodus 35 and verse 1, there it says, and Moses gathered all the congregation of the children of Israel together and said unto them, these are the words which the Lord hath commanded that ye should do them. In Leviticus 8 and verse 3, there it says, and gather thou all the congregation together unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. Numbers 1 in verse 18, and they assembled all the congregation together on the first day of the second month, and they declared their pedigrees of their families by the house of their fathers, according to the number of names from 20 years old and upward by their poles. In Deuteronomy 31 in verse 12, gather the people together, men, women, and children, and thy stranger that is within thy gates, that they may hear and that they may learn and fear the Lord your God, and observe all, to do all that this word, that the words of this law. Nehemiah 8 and verse 1, and all the people gathered themselves together as one man into the streets that was before the water gate. And they spake unto Ezra, the scribe, to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded to Israel. 2 Chronicles 20 and verse 13. And all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives, and their children. In the New Testament, in Acts 2 and verse 1, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Acts 2 and verse 6. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. Acts 20 and verse 7. And upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them. 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 20. When ye come together, therefore, into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper. In 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 23, if therefore the whole church be come together in one place, and all speak with tongues, and there come in those that are unlearned or unbelievers, will they not say that ye are mad? The assembling of God's people to worship has not changed. John 4 and verse 24 says, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Spiritual things never change. The five items of worship, and we've gone over these. First, the memorial service, or the Lord's Supper. We read in Acts 20 and verse 7, upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them. We believe this to be a reference to this memorial service, which we observe every first day of the week. You can read the accounts of the institution of the Lord's Supper in Matthew 26, 26 through 29, in Mark 14, 14 through 25, in Luke 22, 14 through 23, and in 1 Corinthians 11, 23 and verse 29. And if you look at Brother Hickey's booklet on the Lord's Supper, Brother Hickey lists these facts concerning the Lord's Supper. And I'm not going to read through these, because we have that little book right back at the back. So if you want to know what these 10 facts are, and I can tell you, we already know what the 10 facts are concerning the Lord's Supper. So the Bible is clear. The loaf represents the body of Christ. There is one body. Therefore, there is only one loaf. The cup represents the new covenant. So there is only one cup. It is the same today as it was the evening that Jesus instituted this supper in the upper room on the night he was betrayed. Spiritual things never change. Next, singing as a part of worship. We've had lessons concerning singing. We've had lessons on the teaching this morning as a part of worship. And we've heard lessons on prayer this month concerning our part of worship. Heaven has not changed concerning sin. The world looks on sin and in many ways, not only condones it, but in many ways, it's glorified today. When the world speaks of sin, they use softening statements. Alcoholism, it is called a disease, and is legitimized by knowing when to say when. Fornication, it is considered a moral indiscretion. Adultery is known as an extramarital affair. Killing an unborn baby, they say it's a woman's choice to control her body. Gambling is known as a national pastime. Filthy language is guaranteed by the Constitution the world now claims. And pornography is also a right guaranteed by the Constitution, doesn't matter how offensive it is. Homosexuality is known as an alternative lifestyle. God still hates evil. Sin is still sin in heaven's sight, because nothing has changed in heaven. If it was wrong, it is still wrong. If God condemns it, it is still condemned. 1 John 2 and verse 16, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but of the world. If you are satisfied with what the world has to offer, you will miss out on the very best things in this life. In closing, if you are seeking the church, you're in the midst of it. And if you look around, you may be thinking, is this all there is to it? And I want to tell you, the answer is no. There is much more. In John 14, verse 2 through verse 6, Jesus said, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. And Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going, and how can we know the way? And Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Nothing has changed in heaven. Spiritual things never change. If there's someone that is subject to the gospel call, we would bid you come while we stand and sing.